Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and dig into the study. As you know, if you've been around for a while, we've been in a long, pretty extensive series on the life of Christ, being a disciple, helping other people to become more like Christ. Specifically, within the last couple of months, we've been looking more at how the early church took the message of Jesus out to their hometown, to their country, to people that are different than them, and then also to all the ends of the earth. And as we've been going through all this, sometimes, and we've experienced this several times in the past, we're on a roll, and we've probably got, I don't know, another couple of months in Acts at some point. But sometimes the Holy Spirit just stops in and says, we need to talk. We have something different. So we're putting that series on hold for the time being, and that on hold. Yep, that'd be great. Can we take that off the screen? That'd be great. Appreciate that, Michael. This is why we don't let you back there. You're trying to fix it. Okay, leave it black. Is this still having issues? Is this still having issues this week?
No.
Okay. So you just made that up? I'm teasing Michael. Michael's like fixes everything and then I give him crap. That's not good. Anywho, but we're going to kind of stop, and because the series that we've been in right now has been teaching us, and this is what the scripture says we should be doing. It's teaching each other, our teachers within the church are teaching others to be able to build them out and send them out. So that's really where we've been diving in. But sometimes the missionaries need tended to as well. And so while we're looking at being missionaries, there's also times that we just need to stop, and the Holy Spirit says, let's tend to you guys. And so this blunt mini-series, which is not about marijuana, by the way, Katie Williams. I heard what you said through my wife. Which, by the way, I didn't even think about that until she's hiding. But it did come to mind once I started looking for pictures for the background. Yeah, we found some things. But here's what blunt is here, is there are sayings in the scripture that are just really blunt, and that we oftentimes overlook or we oftentimes take for granted. And there were two specific ones that have come to mind. So I know this week and next week it feels like we're going to be in the series. This week's going to be very comforting as the Spirit moves. Next week's going to be a little bit more up in your face, I think, for us. And that's okay. That's what the whole purpose is of what Jesus has to say. But I don't know if there'll be more or not. I don't know if it'll be sporadic over time. I don't know. We'll just kind of deal with what the Spirit puts on a plate and go from there. Does that sound good? But I do promise that blunt will also come with 100% love. I saw a video this week. I don't know if other of you guys have seen it on Facebook, where a pastor, let's say, went blunt on his church about, he's just going off. And what he had to say, there was truth to it. He was talking about how it's inappropriate to come into the house of God and have people hanging on each other and big, massive displays of affection and hanging on each other and stuff, and how people being on the phones when you're here to worship and you're here to listen to the Word of God is inappropriate. And those things are true, honestly. We don't beat everybody up about it, but those things are true. But I would not be screaming it at you and calling people out by name and using cuss words while I'm doing that message with you. So while that is, again, both of them are going to be more in the blunt area of things, it will be with love as well. Now, that doesn't mean you like it. Doesn't mean I'll like it, but it will be with love as well. So I do give you that promise and that guarantee. So with that, we're not going to go to Acts today. We're going to go to Mark. So if you would, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out. We're going to go to Mark chapter 4. And again, there's Bibles around the room underneath the chairs and there's baskets if anybody needs one or wants to keep one. There's also a new version up and running that has all the scriptures in it and ready to go as well. But we're going to read a particular incident, one that we went through a couple years ago when we were going through the life of Christ for those 2 years. But I wanted to set up really the blunt statement today, which is peace be still. That's what we're going to be looking at, is peace be still. So you can pretty much guess, if you know a little bit about the Gospels, that we're going to be looking at Jesus on the storm with the apostles, which we are. But I want to put it in context, because context and the Bible go hand in hand. if you just jump in there, sometimes you can get some wacky stuff out of it. So starting out with chapter 4, starting out with verse 1, it says this, again he, and he being Jesus, so again Jesus began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. So when we think about this, I think sometimes, I just want to make sure we paint it out a little bit with our educated biblical imagination. Because I think, like I've never seen in The Chosen, or if you see it in the Hallmark movie, or if you see it in the kids' book when you're in VBS, whatever, there's many depictions of Jesus on the seaside, on the beach with like 20 people, 30 people, or whatnot, and it's just like this peaceful chit-chat. That's not what's going on here. It did happen. He's talked to one, he's talked to 20, he talks to thousands. I mean, he's a multifaceted God because it's a multifaceted mission. But in this case, that's not the situation. These are people that are crushing in on him to the point he has to get on a boat or else they'll run him over. And the question becomes, why was there so many people there for Jesus and to be able to hear his teaching? Anybody? Why do you think? I don't know what that noise was, but I'm glad you're back from camping. What's up?
Miracles.
Miracles, yep, absolutely. Anybody else?
Seeking answers.
Seeking answers? Yeah. Healing? Go back to Mark 1. And I will say this, they're seeking something he can do for them, and healing and deliverance is correct. And when you get in Mark 1 and you start looking at like your little highlight things up here on the top, they're going to come across around what, verse 21, where Jesus heals a man of an unclean spirit. He kicks out a demon, right? After that, he takes, and we know within this same context of things, that Peter's mother-in-law is healed. If you from after he leaves the synagogue, goes to Peter's house, mother's healed. And it's not just a migraine. It is, in that time, in that culture, it was putting it on close to a death sentence that he saved her from, that she's immediately up and serving other people. After this, everybody in town hears about this. You guys remember us going through all this? Everybody in town hears about that and the demon. And so while they used to be amazed at his teaching at the synagogue, now they're at Peter's front door wanting healing, wanting demon deliverance. There's a leper in the city. Mark 2 goes through where he's healing a paralytic. Mark 3 heals a man with a withered hand. And in chapter 3, I'll start in verse 7. It really kind of displays a little bit better, I think, the scene that Mark is picking up from. Verse 7 says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, which means he's left the crowd, and the great crowd followed him anyways. From Galilee and Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, Jordan, from Tyre, Sidon, when the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. So again, this is not a small little side note or something that's just kind of cute. This is a necessity. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make it known. Why? Because that wasn't his message at that time. He didn't need a distraction of a large crowd to take and overrule his teaching. Doesn't mean he didn't love people. He loved people or he wouldn't have healed them. Doesn't mean that he didn't have compassion on people or he wouldn't have healed them from demons. It was just part of his mission, but his primary mission was to teach. If you keep your finger there in Mark, I'm going to go over to Luke 4 for a second. And I can just read it to you and you can check it, make sure I don't lie to you when you get home, or you can read it with me now. But in Luke 4, 42 through 44, comes up a verse that is parallel to this. Again, the harmony of the Gospels work together. So during the same time, actually before this crowd, when all the people were coming to Peter's house and he had built the largest church of all time in no time flat, we find that the next day the apostles are seeking him because they want to continue. They've got this massive following now. In verse 42, it says, when it was day, Jesus departed and he went to a desolate place. Not a lonely place, not a quiet place, but a desolate place. And the people sought him, and they came to him, and would have him keep from leaving them. So they just want this to be all about Peter's hometown. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So he moved out of Peter's hometown into the country of Judea. The reason he was able to have this focus, if you remember, I talk about this every time we talk about how do you know what God's will is for your life. If you got a big decision coming up, or you're trying to figure out what's going on with a turn in the road in your life, whatever the case may be, I always come to this, because everything was telling Jesus, this is awesome. And Jesus stepped off to a desolate place and said, Daddy, what do you think? Do you remember us talking about that? If you want to go deeper into it, talk to me afterwards. We can get coffee. Go to our YouTube channel and look will of God and how you can know the will of God. And this is part of that. But in this case, he said, I'm reminded I'm here to teach, and I can't do that here anymore. Everybody just wants what I can give them. It's no longer about the teaching. Okay? So all of that, I think, is important as we get into this particular section of things, where he is at the seaside with the massive crowd and trying to survive the situation, but also teach. And that's what we've been doing through Acts, is we've been teaching. We've been teaching. And he did the exact same thing. He had the crowd. He's out on the boat. At this moment, the healing is paused. The deliverance has paused, and he starts teaching them. He starts teaching them parables. If you look at your scripture as it goes on, he continues to talk to them about just how insane it is that anybody would have the light and then hide it under a bushel. It's insane if the gospel message comes to you and you accept Jesus as leader and forgiving your life, by acknowledging with your mouth he's the Son of God, believing in your heart he died and rose again, you are forgiven, you have freedom, you're following him, he's God, you're not. And that changes everything, and you got this freedom, and then you hide it from everybody else because it's a personal thing. It's not a personal thing. Again, we're on mission, right? So there's a lot of acts within this. As he continues to talk to him, he talks about the kingdom of God being a mustard seed. Don't confuse this with mustard seed of faith and all the things that it can do. We'll talk about that actually later. But that the kingdom of God's like a mustard seed, that even if you just have a little bit of hope when you come to Jesus, and you plant that in, then the kingdom of God continues to grow, and the kingdom of God continues to impact, and the kingdom of God continues to move out. So he's continuing to teach them, much like the exact same things that we're talking about in Acts. Everything he does in this moment is taking a break from the healing so that he can teach. But, just like today, the Holy Spirit sometimes just jumps in and does his own thing. He wants to minister to the missionaries. Stay in Mark 4. Let's go up to verse 35. After the teaching and after the speaking, and he explains these teachings to his disciples. In verse 35, it says, on that day, so after he's been teaching all day long, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And I want to study that more. I've never caught that statement before. I don't know what that means. Just because as he was tired, just as he was worn out, just as he was cranky, whatever the case may be, I don't know if we know the details. I just know there's no detail in the scripture that doesn't have a point. But nonetheless, they took him just as he was. And other boats were with them. So a lot of times we see this depicted just as one, but other boats were with them as well. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. This is the blunt statement. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still got no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Okay, so let me put a few bullet points in front of you, some things to think about, some of them are just very common sense, so I'm not like some kind of great theologian genius. I just want to make sure we have it on the table before we go to our next time, which is me getting out of the way and you just having time with the Holy Spirit, okay? So here's some of the points with the help of Lisa. We'll put them up there for our note takers. The first thing to notice is Jesus set the direction. This trip that they're going on, Jesus said, let's go. There's confirmation on that. We're going to the other side of the sea. And they said yes. They followed the direction. Those two go hand in hand. So if Jesus tells you or God leads you to what his will is within a situation, and you have confirmation on it, because again, there's such thing as bad being burrito moments and you get off into Wackyville. But you find confirmation. You know that this is the Holy Spirit, and you start following him. What could possibly bring failure to that? What could? Nothing. Right? I'm talking to my brothers and sisters here, right? If Jesus says it, you find confirmation that it happens, and you're following him, what in the world do we have to be afraid of? We have that assurance. We have that direction. We have that truth. We have that promise. And then Satan hits back. Always. He's a jerk like that. He's jealous like that. He's hateful like that. He hates our God, and he hates you. Period. He just wants to keep you away from whatever God's wanting to do with you, and that happens in this case as well. In no time in your life should you ever say, okay, I think God is leading me this way. I've been praying about it. I've received confirmation. I've been in the Word. I've gotten this good, godly wisdom advice from mentors of mine that I know that love me and love the Lord, and I'm moving forward with it, and I bet nothing bad goes on. It'd be foolish, because that's not how Satan works. As a matter of fact, if Satan's coming against it, you got a pretty good shot that you're in the right direction. Right? Now, I have a buddy who takes and is an atheist, and he says, well, God always gets, you know, the credit. If things go bad, God's on it. And da, 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 da. Yeah, he's God. It kind of works that way. And Satan gets it, so I know it's going to happen, and he comes with them on this storm. And don't miss this. He's trying to kill them. I truly do believe that, because I know what happens in chapter 5. In a little bit, we're going to talk about what happens in chapter 5, and Satan's trying to stop it. If he can stop it here, then he can stop the things from moving forward within that. So Satan hits back. There's a couple of different responses here. We have the disciples, they're stressed out, they're maxed out, they're in despair, they think they're going to die. Then you have Jesus, who's sleeping. Whole different response. A different way of looking at the situation, I guess. And one of the things that's beautiful within this, if you look at it, check it out when you get home if you want to, but there's so many details in this particular paragraph or two that are eyewitness statements. He was on a pillow. He was in the stone. They got in the boat. This is not something that's been passed down from generation to generation. This is Peter's telling, because Mark is Peter's disciple, and we know that Peter shared all of this with Mark, and Mark is the one who wrote it down. Peter was there, and he's talking about, I was afraid, and I thought I was going to perish, and I was giving up hope. And then Jesus had a completely different response. So let's go to the other response. The next thing that we have them saying, how can you let this happen? Has anybody ever been there with God? How can you let this happen? My finances, my relationship, going through a loss, whatever the case would be, how can God let these things happen to good people? I've been trying. I've been doing my best. I was following him. He told me to go this way. I'm going this way, and now I'm getting drowned out on a boat. How can you let this happen? From a personal witness of Peter as he's talking about these things. It's a very natural response. Very natural response. And we're also born into corruption, so that's why it's a natural response. We don't feel the way that we were when we were Adam and Eve day, before sin entered into it. Where they walked with him in the garden, they laughed with him, they hugged him, they had one-on-one relationship physically, back and forth. But sin corrupts everything. And so our natural response is, how can you let this happen? Why did this not go the way I wanted to? Why does things seem to continue to happen to me? And the next thing I put up there was suddenly Jesus. You don't see it in this text, but we've talked about it several times in the last couple of years, that time after time after time in the scripture, we find the word suddenly. This is what's going on, this is what's going on, this is what's going on, and then suddenly Jesus does this. Suddenly the man is healed. Suddenly the people notice. Suddenly the crowds come. It's because Jesus is a God of suddenly. His timing is his timing, and that's when it happens. That's what makes any testimony great, right? We talked about this. I talked about this in South Africa over and over again because I wanted to plant it there at the children's homes. Testimony is when everything sucks, suddenly Jesus, this is the difference he made in my life. And we're responsible for those to share with others so that they know the goodness of God if they've not experienced it yet. And also to remind ourselves when we're saying, how can you let this happen, that Jesus is a suddenly Jesus. I've got a billion of those stories. They don't always come to mind when things seem like they're falling apart. But that's one of the reasons I stir those up, and that we encourage each other with our testimonies. Does that make sense? Think about all the things that the disciples have already experienced with Jesus. And here they're on the boat. Why are you letting us drown? Don't you even care? Are we going to drown? And suddenly Jesus, peace, be still. Notice that's not a suggestion. Notice that's not a positive living speech of, hey, don't worry, it's all going to be good. It's a commandment. It's not just a commandment to the sea, which immediately responds, but it's also for his disciples. Peace be still. I've got this. And if you don't think that's dual purposed, he says, have you still no faith? Why did you guys even need to wake me up? Do you still not get this? I've got you. I didn't say we're going to go across the sea so that you could be drowned out in the I've got this. And it's because they have a limited view of Jesus. They follow him. They trust him. But they don't get Jesus. Not fully. Not to the full extent of who he is and what he has for them. They were amazed that Jesus could say, peace be still, and the seas and the wind would immediately obey. And he was amazed of, where's your faith? Where's your faith? If I go to the other mustard seed example that he gives, if we had the faith the size of a mustard seed, then we can move mountains, we can move trees. A mustard seed. And they didn't even have that, because they misunderstood and they limited Jesus. And I think we do that sometimes ourselves.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. Or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.